The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Both hailing from parts unknown at a combined weight of 501 pounds, they are the Morning Rush Hour World Tag Team Champions. They have no fear, no back down, just a couple of gutsy guys. No one will take those MRH World Tag titles from these men. It's Taz, it's the Moose, illustrious champions, right here every day on CBS Sports Radio.
You know it's every day, Moose and Taz be paving the way. Talking about every sport, you know that they never missing a play. From the NBA to the NFL to college games, they always bringing the knowledge, nobody ever can try to go stop it. Only we talking the truth, only we talking the truth, ayy.
All right, Taz and the Moose with you here on this Tuesday morning. Happy Tuesday. Good Tuesday, one and all. We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Millions of Americans finance the home of their dreams with their help. They can help you too. Rocket Mortgage. Push button. Get mortgage. Pete and Mike across the way. James as well. Bogish with your updates as we take you right up until 9 a.m. Eastern time. And we kicked off this hour as we run around the National Football League. Ryan Wilson will join us, covers the National Football League for CBS Sports and CBS Sports HQ. He's going to join us top of the third and final hour, so that'll be a good conversation with Ryan. A lot to get into with him. With that being said, let's run the around the NFL. Time for a little pigskin pileup.
It's now time for the pigskin pileup. Taz and Moose circle the wagons around the NFL.
Yeah, certainly do here on this Tuesday morning. A lot of ways to go here, Taz. The Giants have got themselves a new young stud quarterback in Daniel Jones, who was brilliant in start number one for Big Blue down in Tampa, and a comeback victory over the Buccaneers coming from 18 points down in that game. We know that Saquon Barkley left with an ankle injury, high ankle sprain, walking boot, crutches at the end of the game, hopping off the field after the Giant victory in the game missed field goal by the Buccaneers. Reports are he's going to be out for the next 4 to 8 weeks for the star running back for the Giants and Barkley.
Yeah, it's a shame. It's a shame because Giant fans are so happy because they have themselves this bright young quarterback in Daniel Jones, and yet in that same game, like, you know, and we talked about it a lot yesterday, you know, their great young running back gets injured. And I was hoping to see these two guys build a chemistry together, and they will, but this is just a hiccup. It's a speed bump, as the cliche goes, right, in the ever-going weeks of the NFL where it's so physical and violent, guys get hurt. And I'll tell you, I saw that hit on his knee, on his leg, I should say, on Barkley's leg. I thought it was his knee. I said this yesterday. The way he got hit in full speed, the live action, the way they covered it, the first shot of it, I thought he just got a shoulder right in the side of his knee and he blew his knee out. But then when they slow-moed it, you can see it wasn't the case. But it does stink for the Giants for sure. But, you know, he's got to rehab that thing, get back to be 100%. And this guy's, he's so strong, his lower body. Anybody with calves, quads, hamstrings, and glutes like Barkley, if he can get hurt, anybody can. Okay, because that guy's lower body, he is built like a truck. But, you know, it stinks for the Giants that he's going to be out for a bunch of weeks.
Here is Pat Shurmur on the loss of Barkley for the next 48.
It's very unfortunate to have Saquon out of the lineup. We all know what he brings to the team. But it's going to fall on all of us to move forward and do what we can to win games.
Yeah, it certainly is. Wayne Gallman, the former Clemson star, assumes the starting role for the Giants. I would imagine at some point in time here, they're going to add a running back as well, with Barkley missing that amount of time just for a little bit of quality depth. But, it's a hit, and certainly is. And a guy that's not easily replaced in any way, shape, or form, Taz. Down at Jacksonville we go. How about Doug Marrone? He addressed the media yesterday and talked a little bit about Jalen Ramsey. and the report that came out yesterday that he was sick, going to miss practice. Here's Marone on that.
I mean, it's happened a bunch. I mean, you know, they're sick and, you know, they'll call in and depending on, you know, the type of sickness and, you know, hey, they'll stay away because obviously you don't want to get anyone else sick. And, you know, they'll go see Dr. Iorio and Iorio will get back to us and tell us what's going on and we just take it from there. It's happened, I don't want to exaggerate and say hundreds of times, but it's happened quite a bit. I mean, you know, it's happened here since I've been the head coach a couple of times. You know, it's happened with Miles, where I actually, you know, was in a hotel with him. He stayed there. It's happened. You know, so it's, to me, it's nothing nothing as big, but I understand that that's probably a big story because the other things that are surrounding
him. Was that a hotel with Miles Jack?
Yeah.
I guess he means team hotel.
Well, yeah, on the road, team hotel, Miles Jack, he stayed back at the room, he was under the weather. I think that's what he was referencing. Yeah, it's just the timing as he finally got around to it, the timing of the entire scenario, because he's asking for a trade. But I did see a, you know, an unnamed source close to Ramsey that by saying, listen, he's not going to, if he wants to get traded, you know, he just, he'll tell him. He's not playing. He wants to get traded. You know, he's not going to pull these kind of shenanigans. I don't know. The Schefter, after we got off the air yesterday, Taz reported that Jack thinks, not Miles Jack, but Jalen Ramsey thinks it's the flu. You know, like he mentioned, they'll send the doctor over there and see where they go. The timing of it, though, is a little odd.
The timing is definitely odd. The timing's odd, yeah. And I was tongue-in-cheek about it yesterday when we heard about this. But then, you know, once he's going to the team doctor and all that, and maybe it's not as sketchy as some might think. I mean, you know, you're not going to, when a doctor checks you out, you know, he's going to be able to tell if you're healthy as an ox or not. So, obviously, there's something going on with a flu or whatever Jalen Ramsey has. But, you know what, maybe, all can decide, maybe this is a good thing. You know, not that the guy's sick, but the timing of him being out and being away a little bit more, maybe things can cool down and whatever the hell's going on there with him and either Coughlin or Ramsey and either Marone, whatever it is, and things could chill because ownership wants to keep him on the team and they should want to keep him. He's a great player. And his teammates want to keep him. So maybe this, you know, him being out a few days with having the flu or whatever's going on with him could, you know, could he could chill out a little bit, calm down a little bit, and cooler heads prevail. Maybe that's the case.
Yeah, maybe. You might be right. I think they have to talk their way through it. He talked about disrespect. Remember, we mentioned that yesterday through was doing a podcast. I forget the name of the podcast, but felt it had nothing to do with you know, the direction of the team or the general. It had to do with, I guess, a certain amount of disrespect. We don't know exactly what was said between him and Marone or Marone to him on the sideline down in Houston against the Texans. But that very next day, that's when he and his agent went to Jacksonville and said, get me the hell out of here. And requesting that trade, maybe cooler heads will prevail. Jacksonville doesn't want to trade him. I wouldn't want to trade him either. And maybe it's a case of if you pay him, you know, he'll be all good and he won't feel as disrespected. I don't know where the path is here, Taz, but he's not he's not given up or relinquished that trade demand. That's still there. He talked about it after this, you know, after Thursday night's game and their victory over the Tennessee Titans, that, you know, he still wants to be traded. So I don't think that's going anywhere unless they're able to finally get into a room and resolve whatever the issues are. We'll find out. I mean, we'll find out when you look at Jalen Ramsey. So that whole Jacksonville scenario, then you get to everyone starting to pile on when you look at Baker Mayfield and the Cleveland Browns and their struggles, to the point where you hear Rex Ryan, former Bills coach, former Jet coach, former defensive coordinator with the Baltimore Ravens, telling you that he believes that Baker Mayfield is indeed overrated as hell, quote-unquote, from Rex Ryan. I mean, interesting comments from Ryan, who, you know, as a head coach, you could probably say was a little bit overrated. But, you know, I get it. And we talked about when you put that kind of a target on your back, as Mayfield did during the course of the offseason, when you are bringing up the Giants, their fan base, when it's all the focus on everybody else, when you want to wear the dark hat and be the bad guy and be the, you know, and could care less with how people react to what you say, this kind of criticism is going to come your way if you play poorly, and he's not played well through the first 3 weeks.
I can't remember. Maybe you can. Who was the quarterback who was in the preseason that Mayfield took a shot at, like a verbal, and then he backtracked?
It was Jones.
It was Giants. Jones. Yeah. Right, right. It was Daniel Jones.
Yeah. How taking funny him sixth is that? Overall.
How funny is that? Now, think about that, right? Right?
Yeah.
Now Jones goes into this past week, plays great, does great, wins, and everyone's singing the praises of young Daniel Jones. And there's Baker Mayfield, hot shot Jones. And he's getting punked out, and guys like Rex Ryan are saying he's overrated. I mean, and I got to say, I kind of agree. I agree with Rex Ryan. I do think he's overrated. We've seen enough from playing. I mean, I don't know. And it just, for all the chatter, if he was just to the point you're making, if he would just chill and just play the game and not make a big stink out of nothing, not trying to act like whatever he is, and it just puts a big spotlight on you, like you said, and it's a bad look. And so right now, a lot of people are going to think he's overrated because he's not playing good. It's just, that's it.
No, he's not. I mean, he did set a rookie touchdown mark a year ago, surpassing Peyton Manning, and didn't start from game one. I mean, you have to have ability to be able to do that for the Rex Ryans of the world. He has not played well, and he's played poorly. The Browns have not played well either. See, I don't look at Mayfield as being overrated. I think he's a good young quarterback. I mean, I do. You don't think he's a good young quarterback?
No, I don't think he's good. I just think he's a little bit overrated. I think he's overrated. That's all. I mean, that doesn't mean I don't think he's good. There's several athletes that are overrated.
No, I get it. But to the level of what? You don't think he's a franchise quarterback? I'm not trying to put words in your mouth.
Oh,
what do you mean by overrated? What do you mean by overrated?
Because of the amount of hype he gets makes him overrated. I do think he's a guy like the Browns are going to have to keep as their franchise guy. I got no problem with that. I think he's that. But I think with all of the noise around him, a lot of it he creates, and his Mr. Outspoken and Mr. I'm not shaking my former head coach's hand in the middle of the field after we beat the team and Hugh Jackson, that kind of stuff, and saying stuff about a young rookie quarterback coming out of Duke, and then you backtrack it and you make yourself look stupid, and putting all that attention on yourself, and you handpick your head coach, who probably wasn't ready to be the head coach, and they made him the head coach anyway, and the team brings all these weapons in for you, has all these weapons there for you, and you still can't win. You know, I mean, I don't know. I think he's overrated with all the attention, because of all the attention he has. If he didn't have that amount of attention, then I wouldn't consider him overrated. Because we wouldn't be covering him here on a show all the time.
No, true.
That's my point on it.
I see what you're saying, but you're. Okay.
I think he's a good quarterback, though. I'm not saying he stinks.
No, I get it. So you're looking more of a character flaw than based on his talent.
The character flaw, yes, because it brings all that attention to him. Which,
right, but it's more about his personality than. See, when I think about. Okay, when I look at a quarterback or a player as being overrated, Taz, I think of a guy that gets a lot of attention or gal, but isn't particularly good.
Right.
That hasn't won a lot. Hasn't.
Okay, I understand.
I look at Mayfield. Mayfield's accomplished a lot.
Right.
Mayfield was a Heisman Trophy winner of Oklahoma. He had a really good rookie year in Cleveland. I believe he's their franchise quarterback. I'm not disagreeing with you. I think his personality at times stinks. I think he's can be very, very divisive. You know, I think he's worse for the wear. He's his own worst enemy. I don't disagree with any of that. It makes him, outside of the Cleveland area, or the Oklahoma area down in Norman, Taz,
right.
I think he makes him very, very difficult to root for. Because I think a lot of people root for Baker Mayfield to fail because Baker Mayfield doesn't shut up.
Correct. He puts the spotlight on himself.
Right. And I don't disagree with any of that. But I also think he's a really good player. Like, I don't think he's played very well this year.
Right.
But if Mayfield was the Redskins quarterback, would I feel like I would have the position resolved and solved? Yeah, I think.
Right.
I don't think the Browns are looking for another. Like, when I think of overrated, when Rex Ryan tells me he's overrated, I think of a guy that, you know, has gotten too much accolades that isn't particularly good at his position. See, I think Mayfield's still a really good young quarterback that maybe is going through some learning curves and some hard lessons here about what he needs to do and how he needs to act moving forward. You get what I'm saying?
I do.
Am I making sense?
No, you're making a lot of sense. No, I do. I'm just trying to unpack it in my brain. I mean, because I stand behind, and I like I said, I agree with Rex Ryan. You're breaking down what makes someone overrated or not. I get it, and you're not wrong.
Everyone can look at it a little bit differently.
From the way I look,
and when I hear someone tell me, you know, you're overrated, yeah, someone's overrated, that's the way I look at it. I would say they're not a really good player. They get more burn for not accomplishing anything. Mayfield's accomplished some stuff. I mean, he has. Whether you like his personality or not,
okay,
he's done some stuff as a football player.
And he has done some stuff as a football player. You're right about that. Okay, but maybe, just maybe now, maybe the reason why some folks might think he's overrated, it's because you expect more out of him because how much he chirps.
That's a good point.
You know, he chirps so much that you do expect more. I expect him to be
great.
Great. Yeah, he says Brett Favre is his favorite player, was his favorite quarterback. There's similarities between him and Brett Favre. But I got news for you. At this point in his career, he is no Brett Favre. Okay? He's not. Look, I'll tell you something else. As a Bills fan, okay, we got Josh Allen, who doesn't have the hype or the attention that Baker Mayfield has. And if you said to me, who do you want to be your quarterback, Taz, on your Buffalo Bill team? You want to keep Josh Allen or you want Baker Mayfield? I'm keeping Josh Allen. And if you watch Josh Allen play, that's a guy who really wants to win. I'm not saying Baker doesn't. That's a guy who busts his ass out there. And he does make some mistakes, and he's a wild man. You're watching a lot of games. Most people watch. When you watch the Buffalo Bills play, you watch this guy. This guy is a gunslinger, and sometimes he makes all bad mistakes. But he's exciting to watch, and he wants to win, just like Baker does. I keep Josh as opposed to Baker.
I get it, because you also like his personality more than you like Mayfield's.
That's true. And Mayfield's it's a personality league, as you know, though. You know,
I get it, but it also leads you to gravitate to some people and bring you toward them, and also can drive you away, too. Because
that's
Mayfield
true.
Could be more annoying. Allen's kind of, you know, Allen is kind of, you know, he's not this outgoing personality. He's a really talented young quarterback, but he's not really going to say anything.
No, he's not.
Aside from claiming Buffalo's New York's only team.
That's how he is.
But aside from that, Taz, he's really not going to say anything.
He's not
doing any GQ pieces.
He's not walking around shirtless with a fur on. No, he's wearing Buffalo Bill stuff. That's what he does.
He's not going to be Mr. Pitchman and pitching everything and this and that. But I get it.
He's hanging out with the Bills Mafia tailgating the night before the big game.
He's a good young quarterback. I just look at it, and we look at it a little bit differently.
I just had
an issue with Rex, because Rex is still talking about the two AFC Championship game appearances for the Jets when he was a head coach. Laying it on that. How about the Carolina, Taz? We talked a lot about it yesterday with the performance by Kyle Allen out in Arizona, as the Panthers played very, very well, and offensively he was really good. Didn't take him long. Cam Newton out this week.
Yeah.
Kyle Allen starting. And the report out of Carolina is something that we were ahead of the game with yesterday. Cam Newton will not start for the Carolina Panthers until he is 100% healthy. So that's the next time you'll see Newton in. He'll have to be over that foot sprain.
Yep.
Anything else that's ailing him as well, that he will not be back in that lineup. They will not force feed him back in. They will not push him if he's not 100%. He's got to be 100% healthy for him to get back in the lineup, Taz, which I think is the right call.
I do, too. And I got to tell you, I'm not in the psyche of Cam Newton, but I bet you, man, that there's a great chance. This is the first time since he's been an NFL player Cam Newton is panicked here a little bit, because he's got a kid that no one expected breathing down
his throat. Undrafted.
Yeah, exactly. A kid out of Wisconsin. Went to Houston, I think.
Yes.
I mean, yeah, so it's not like, you know, big top guy star at Auburn like Cam was, you know? I'm just saying, you're sitting out hurt now, and you know potentially this is a guy that can basically take this spot. Like I said yesterday, I'm steadfast on that. I do think it's still Cam's team for him to lose that spot, but you're right, we were ahead of it, and they did make sure he's healthy enough, and then let's see what happens, because if he's not playing well, once he comes back and he is healthy, Cam Newton, well, they're going to put Allen right back in that thing, and I don't think Rivera's going to play games. He wants to win.
No, no doubt, especially with the pressure on him down in Carolina.
That's right.
Taz, because I think there's some Panther fans that feel like Ron Rivera maybe should have been out as head coach, maybe a year and a half ago. All right, final stop, Taz. Let's head out to Kansas City and Patrick Mahomes, who's a breathtaking young quarterback. I mean, there's no doubt, MVP, and his touchdown pace here, even without Hill in the lineup, he's on pace for more touchdowns this year than he was a year ago, which is just a sign of the times. He's an amazing player. He really is. Give the Chiefs credit for drafting him when they did, coming out of Texas Tech, having the vision of what he was going to be, coming from that offense for the Red Raiders, and what he was going to be as an NFL player, Taz. He can make all the throws, no look deep, this and that. And I would not be surprised if he goes, you know, back-to-back. He's the best player in the league. He's the best quarterback in the league.
Absolutely.
I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Absolutely.
And he's the odds-on favorite to win back-to-back MVPs.
He is just a special guy, man, special player. Now, this is a guy, we talk about character, we talk about Mayfield or whatever. It's a guy, how do you not like this guy? This guy don't chirp. This guy only chirps about the Chiefs, about his team and his teammates. And he goes out and he goes 27 to 37 and puts 375 yards on the board with three touchdowns, protects the ball against a good Ravens defense. You know, that's impressive. Okay, that's what this guy does. He wins. He just wins. And how do you not love him? I mean, it's just that the Chiefs are, they're gonna be a dynasty, man. They're just with this kid here and the weapons they have, it's all up. It's all up for them. Man, I should have been a Chiefs fan when I left the Jets.
Well, yeah, maybe. Well, who knew? If you knew now what you knew, now what you could have known then, would have been. But did you see the Athletic Kansas City, what they tweeted out yesterday in support of Patrick Mahomes?
I did not.
So this was interesting. So they tweeted out, I'm trying to get the stats correct. Patrick Mahomes has 36% of Troy Aikman's touchdowns and just 8% of the playing time.
Wow.
Right.
I did not. That's staggering,
now,
man.
Think no, of but that. The best thing is the response. So Troy Aikman responded on Twitter saying, wake me up when he has 33% of my Super Bowl wings.
I love Aikman, man. I'm sorry. He's the man. That's great.
So, I mean, they throw. And I don't think the Athletic in Kansas City is trying to take a shot at Aikman. It's a different time, but they're just looking at kind of, you know, the arc that he has as being a Hall of Famer. But Aikman obviously did not look too kindly upon that little dig or little shot about his touchdown production at the quarterback spot. And he basically said, wait, and tell me when he's got 33% of my Super Bowl wins.
It's tremendous.
And Aikman, obviously a three-time Super Bowl champion. Yeah. So there you go. Pigskin pile up here on this Tuesday morning. It's Taz and the Moose with you. We'll come back. Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald, he's got a message for every one of us, all the armchair coordinators out there. We'll get into that next. It's Taz, it's Moose on a Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. Give Taz and the Moose a call, 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227.
All right, don't miss Spence Jr. versus Porter Saturday at 9 Eastern, 6 Pacific. Order now, live on pay-per-view, also available on the Fox Sports app. That'll be a good one coming your way on a Saturday night. We'll get into what Pat Fitzgerald had to say, the Northwestern coach, here momentarily. But back in the house, look who it is. The Natalie attired Andrew Bovich. What's up, Andrew?
Wait, Natalie attired?
Yeah.
That's not good, right? Thanks, Moose.
I don't know what that means.
After 19 points over the first 2 weeks of the season, the Bears offense put up 21 in the second quarter last night in Washington. Those points courtesy of three touchdowns from Mitchell Trubisky to Taylor Gabriel. Trubisky threw only 5 incompletions all night.
It was big for our offense just to get going tonight. And I think that just belief and just executing on offense is what allowed us to go down and score. So we just got to keep growing, keep getting better, and keep doing that.
Things did not go as well for Washington QB Case Keenum.
Keenum is under center. Shy of the 15, gets the ball, tries to leap, knock the ball away as he was leaping over the pile. It's loose, it's rolling, and Chicago is recovered. Chicago is recovered.
That came on 4th and 1 with his team down 13 in the fourth quarter. Keenum lost another fumble while throwing 3 picks, one of which, haha, Clinton Dix, returned for a touchdown. His Bears won 31.
He basically threw that ball. That was in the beginning of the game. He threw it right to him.
Yeah.
Right to haha. Literally threw it right to him. He
remember that?
I couldn't believe it. Like how he threw that ball.
Yes, I do remember. Yes. Thank you.
There you go.
Yeah, hit him right in stride.
Washington is 0-3 this season, has dropped 8 in a row on Monday night. Giants running back Saquon Barkley reportedly out 4 to 8 weeks with a high ankle sprain, suffered early in Sunday's win in Tampa Bay. Cam Newton's foot injury will keep him out this weekend, too. Kyle Allen starts in Houston. Patriots fullback James Devlin's on IR with a neck injury, And the Cardinals released veteran receiver Michael Crabtree after 2 games and 4 catches. College football, Michigan calling QB Shea Patterson probable for Saturday against Rutgers. Patterson suffered an apparent shoulder injury last weekend against Wisconsin. And Kansas basketball accused of a lack of institutional control while head coach Bill Self gets the failure to monitor charge, all connected to a former Adidas consultant funneling recruits to the Jayhawks. The school and coach say they did nothing wrong. The Tampa Bay Rays started Monday tied with Cleveland for the second AL wild card, then fell into a 4-0 hole at home to the Red Sox.
Adama swings and launches one way up into the air and left. This one's on its way. Gone! Third homer of the inning. It's a 6-run 4th. And the Rays take a 6-4 lead.
Dave Wills, Rays Radio. Willie Adames, the tie-breaking 2-run shot. Tampa Bay 1-7-4 now leads Cleveland by a half game. The Cardinals push their win streak to 6-9-7 in Arizona. They have a 3.5 game lead on the Brewers in the Central. Paul Goldschmidt, a 2-run homer in his first game back in Arizona. The Mets lost at home to the Marlins 8-4, now 5 games back with 6 to go in the wildcard chase. The Phillies fell in Washington 7-2. They're 6.5 back. Royals manager Ned Yost is retiring when the season ends. His 9-year tenure includes the 2015 World Series title and the pennant the year before that. And the Houston Rockets have signed veteran guard Thabo Sefolosha. Hear more about that and his favorite pregame meal on the latest edition of Basketball Drives, available wherever all amazing podcasts are available.
That's awesome. News to me.
None of that's true. Guys, back to you. Well, the signing part's true. The guest spot's not.
You did a good job on that plug, though. That was pretty good.
That was very good.
If it's ever necessary
that
Basketball Drives was to get a plug on national radio, I am Mikey B's guy.
Yeah, well, there's been many who's helped Mikey B. Let's be honest. But I understand. You did a good job right there.
Thank you.
You could also help me down the road, the Taz Show. You can help that, too.
That machine needs no help.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great job, brother.
Well done.
You're the best. Every segment so far, you're batting 1,000. All right.
There you go. Welcome back, Andrew.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Andrew.
We mentioned Pat Fitzgerald, the Northwestern head coach. Here he is with a message for armchair coordinators. Take a listen.
Well, we just take 90 hours and play Wii and golf all week. I mean, what do you think? Yeah, I go into every game plan expecting it to work, to be quite honest with you. I understand there's 40,000 experts on Twitter that can call plays for me, so my email address is # I don't care. Okay, so shoot that out.
Email.
We got to be better.
At something.
And we're going to work to be better. So anybody that's negative, I respect it, and I don't care.
There you go. Well done.
I respect it, and I don't care. But his email address is odd. #
My email address is # I don't care.
He's just angry. Coach is having a rough one. He's 1-2. They just lost an in-conference game to Michigan State. Got beat up 31-10. And now he's got to go on the road to play a little team called Wisconsin, who's coming off of beating up on Michigan. So they're red hot, Wisconsin. So coach is not in a good mood right now.
No, not a good mood. And Fitzgerald was also calling out fans. We talked about it at the time, if you harken back way back when, talking about fans and using their cell phones. Take a listen.
I think phones, I think technology has been the decline in attendance, number one. I think, watching young people today live like this,
he's looking
instead of like that. Stacey and I were out on a date last night, and there was two groups of couples sitting next to us, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm old. Like, not one of the four couples were talking to each other. They were all on their phones, and it just drove me up to wall. I literally wanted to be like a dad and go like, give me your phone, talk to each other. I mean, this is pathetic.
Yeah, I mean, so I respect what he has to say, but in commenting in the style and fashion which he did, doesn't he care?
I just think first of all, he's not an old guy. He's 44 years old. He's not an old guy, but I think he's a little bit of an old soul. I think he's this blue collar guy, and you could tell by the way he coaches. He seems like he's a salt of the earth guy. He's an all business type guy, and I do think it just he deals with kids all the time. His job is dealing with 18, 19, and 20 year olds. So most of them are obsessed, as you know, with their social media and or their phone and texting.
Well, I was talking more so about the play calling than the phones.
We just played the sound of the...
I was bringing that in reference. I agree with you in terms of he is an old school guy. You're right about that in terms of the phones. But I was talking about the fact of when he comes out and is critical of the armchair coordinators, don't you think that he is indeed the way that he commented about it when he says hashtag I don't care, the way he reacted to it? Doesn't he care?
Yes, because I think what it is he works hard to, you know, with his staff to have a game plan every week and run scout with his team and see what the hell's going on. And then people just have a platform on social media to say what they want, and it does piss them off. Look, I can tell you I might comment on social media on Twitter about a match I saw or something like that. And then I'll have a ton of people come at me and give me their opinions about the match. I didn't ask you for your opinion. Okay, I'm giving you my professional opinion, which is built on years. So that might be what he's thinking. Now, it might sound egotistical, but you follow me. I don't follow you. So what makes you think that I want to see your opinion? Sounds egotistical. It is what it is. So maybe I would get along with Pat Fitzgerald. No, I'm kidding. But but I can see what upsets him. It's because he's dealing with that because of the armchair quarterbacks or armchair coordinators, because they feel this is what social media is. They have an open platform to just say what they want to whoever they want, and there's no accountability. Most 99.999% of things that people say on Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, they would not say to someone's face.
I don't disagree with any of that. And I know Fitzgerald is trying to win games, but you know there has to be. I guess I look at it where you know those are also the fans that are showing up to games. You know those are also a majority, not all of them, some of them. I mean, who knows the percentage? I don't know if you can find a percentage of the people that are commenting on Twitter about the game plans for Northwestern. You know, or the criticism he's facing in the papers or what have you, in terms of the game plans for the Wildcats. And they are off to a tough start this year, Taz. But I guess I look at it doesn't that come along with the territory and the criticism? Don't you have to have a little bit thicker skin if you're Fitzgerald? It's one thing, you know, even him, you know, it's one thing to comment on the cell phones. It's funny, and we had a good time with it at the time, and we've poked fun at Nick Saban for, you know, getting on the student fans and the students down in Alabama not showing up to when they're taking on, you know, Morehead State, and I say that in jest. But, you know, if you're Fitzgerald, don't you have to have kind of a thicker skin to it? I mean, because you bring up an example to where you're commenting on a match, right? Fitzgerald is putting his best game plan out there.
Right.
And people don't think it's good enough. Don't they have, as a buying public, a right to be critical then of what you do? And I'm talking about being respectful. I'm not talking about being disrespectful
That. Right there, that last sentence you made, that's the key, though. That's the important part. People can come off very disrespectful. And as you know, things get lost in translation in a text or an email, you know, via text. So, and I'm saying text font, you know, not like a text message.
Oh, no,
message.
I know that,
you
know, yeah.
No, I know, you know, I'm just saying so people understand what I'm saying, like maybe they don't get me. But so I do think that if you are respectful and you go at somebody that's a coach or an owner of a team or a top player or an athlete or a musician or what have you, and you go at them, you know, just make sure I always would say when I had my other show, I always would say utilize an emoji. Utilize an LOL. Utilize an H, you know, ha-ha. Just so it doesn't come off like you're being a hard-ass, you know, douche.
No, and I get that, but he didn't differentiate between the two. John Mara from the Giants, right? He gets, you know, angry letters from Giant fans all the time.
Right.
He writes them all back.
Actual, like, old-school letters? Like, they're sending him letters.
Yeah.
And he writes them back.
He writes him back. It's not a case of, well, of course, you know, he understands, and it's just one example, and I'm sure there's many people, and you can do it a number of different ways. But my point being, though, Taz, is, you know, Fitzgerald is, and he didn't differentiate the two. I'm not talking about the guy or gal that's nasty. I'm not talking about the ones that are poking fun or making fun or doing anything like that, because Twitter can be a very, very nasty landscape. We all understand it. If you are on social media, it can get very nasty. And you're dead on correct. 99.9% of the stuff in criticism that people will say to you on Twitter or when they're in an email, when you meet them, they'll never say it to your face.
Never.
They'll never say it to your face. Don't disagree.
No balls.
But if I'm being respectful, and I'm like, well, I'm being critical of the game planning, don't I have a right to do that if I'm paying season ticket money to go to Northwestern games, or do I have to just buy in hook, line, and sinker and say whatever Pat Fitzgerald does is great?
Right. No, I think I think you do have a right to give your opinion, especially if he's going to have an open forum like a Twitter account. I'm looking at his Twitter account right now. He's got 45,000 people that follow him. He's verified. It's the real guy, Pat Fitzgerald, and you know he's Coach Fitz 51. If you want to follow him.
There you go.
And the thing is, like, he, you know, if you're going to have an open forum to the point you just made, Moose, yeah, people are going to have the right, and they're gonna say, hey, maybe you shouldn't have ran this play, you know, at this point in the game. You should have ran this play. Now, would I ever do that towards a coach? Would you ever do that to a coach? I don't think you would either.
No, I'm saying,
I don't think anybody who works here on, well, maybe Pete. I could see Pete doing that at Mickey Callaway.
Right.
I could see you going at Mickey Callaway.
Definitely.
Yeah, I could see that on Twitter. Right, Mike? You can see him doing that.
Yeah, maybe he has. Who knows?
Yeah. Well, yeah, Case is getting there too.
But like, okay, like you brought up the example of you commenting on a match, right?
Yeah.
So if Fitzgerald came out on Twitter and posted a tweet and said, man, the game plan today was fantastic, then you're opening yourself up to criticism.
True. That's true.
Opening yourself up to criticism because then all of a sudden people will look at the game and be like, what are you talking about? That game plan wasn't great. Or, yeah, coach, that game plan was great. And you'll get a myriad of different responses, but you're kind of trolling and looking for that response. But, you know, if I don't even know what season tickets go. I'm not a student. Students, obviously, the ticket rate is a lot cheaper. But if I'm going to Northwestern games and I'm spending, you know, I got 7 home games during the course of the year, say it's costing me, you know, $60 a game, $420, $840 for a pair to go. I mean, is that conceivable? Maybe $1,000 for a pair of tickets for 7 home games, Taz? Maybe it's something of that rate. I don't even know what the going rate for a Northwestern, you know, and it depends on obviously where you're sitting. I would think that if the team's not performing, I'm not going to criticize the student athlete, but they're not getting paid.
Right.
But you as a coaching staff, you are getting paid, and that comes along with the job as well.
Right.
Because
right.
to take that criticism.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I just think, you know, it's like if I comment on a match, I say, wow, that Rey Mysterio-Bobby Roode match, I thought it was awesome.
Right.
And now people are like, well, I thought it sucked. What are you talking about? Okay. My opinion is actually built on like 25 years of experience.
Sure.
And not that my opinion is better than yours, but in that case, it probably is. That's how I look at it.
You have every right to that opinion. I get it, and I understand it. But Fitzgerald is talking about got people that are just commenting on the game plan.
There is a little bit of a difference there.
But listen, Fitzgerald's an outspoken guy. Now he's got a tough landing spot this weekend on the road, Camp Randall, Wisconsin, noon start, ABC. Taz, that's a tough one for
Northwestern. Good luck.
It's Taz and the Moose with you. We'll come back. You want to talk about going back to school? Who's going back to school? Antonio Brown is. We'll explain next. Taz Moose on a Tuesday, CBS Sports Radio.
It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio. It's Taz and the Moose on CBS Sports Radio.
That's right. Toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on your car insurance. Sunday, it's an NFL on CBS doubleheader with a full day of games, including the Bills defending their home turf against the Pats, followed by the Vikings and Bears in a key NFC North battle. It all begins with our team previewing the day's games on the NFL today at noon Eastern Time, only on CBS. Talking about going back to school, as we did a little bit last segment, talking about Northwestern coach Pat Fitzgerald and some of his comments and the latest and greatest from him. How about Antonio Brown? One day after he tweeted that he's done with the National Football League and the NFL right now is done with Antonio Brown. And he's facing a civil lawsuit, an NFL investigation, Taz losing guaranteed money from both the Raiders and the Patriots respectively as he has filed a grievance with the National Football League Players Association, and they will defend him in that grievance. He threw up a Twitter picture of a piece of paper on his Twitter handle, back to school at CMU, Central Michigan University Athletics. At CMU Athletics, So Antonio Brown's going to start taking some classes.
Hey, I think it's great, man. Some people, I think, thought this was a publicity stunt, which would make no sense. I don't think that's the case at all. And I was thinking about it, too, because you can't, you know, right now, they're in the middle of the fall semester, all universities and colleges and whatnot. You can't just join, there's deadlines. You got to join either for the spring semester or the fall, you know. So he's probably taking online classes.
No, he is taking online.
Yeah, because you can't just go. So if anybody thinking that Antonio Brown is sitting in a classroom with a bunch of, you know, 19-year-olds, you know, learning about biology, like,
but that would be great. Stuff.
That would be hilarious.
I mean, it would be honestly must see TV. That would be Rodney Dangerfield movie, Back to School. Yeah. It would be amazing. If I were a network executive, I would pick that up in an absolute heartbeat. Antonio Brown hitting the Central Michigan campus,
oh
you know, buying, picking up a house, renting a house, throwing house parties, walking into class, you know, shirtless. You know, and this and that. I mean, to have Antonio Brown back on a college campus at the ripe old age of 31, you know, you go in there, he's studying, and he's taking four classes. Introduction to Management, Technical Writing,
nice.
Death and Dying, which is a religion course, and Racism and Equality, a sociology course. So he's taking four classes fall this year, 2019-20, online for Central Michigan, but if he was able to get back on campus, maybe there's hope for spring semester. Not getting back in the National Football League.
True.
I don't know how far away he is from a degree, Taz.
Yeah.
Maybe he's only four classes away, 12 credits away from getting a degree. I don't know. But if he's not.
A certain eligibility. You got to play football or any sport, you got to have a certain amount of credits. So I'm sure he was on par to a degree because he played at Central Michigan.
Right. But I just don't know how far away he was. Remember, Juju Smith-Schuster went back on the USC campus.
That's right.
And he was taking classes. Wearing his jersey.
Yeah, we talked about that. That was weird.
Remember, that was odd.
Yeah, that was strange.
What do you think Antonio Brown would wear? You know, he steps into, you know, class, you know, on the Central Michigan, on the campus, spring of 2020.
Yeah.
You know, he's taking, you know, geology or global warming. You know, you're a 19-year-old kid. You're sitting there, in walks Antonio Brown, Mr. Hair and all.
Wearing a leather bomber jacket with no shirt on, with a giant gold
exactly
chain and
flip-flops. Exactly right. You know, chiseled as Antonio Brown is. What do you think that scene would be like?
It'd be hilarious.
I would pay hard-earned money to watch that.
And listen,
I got to be honest with you. They're selling these shows. I mean, you can't get enough of this Rich Eisen Epics channel, The Grind. I mean, I need to pay $5.99 to hear Rich Eisen tell me about the NFL. I'll pay $5.99 a month to watch Antonio Brown on the Central Michigan campus. I'll tell you that.
I would pay to see him at the Commons eating like a turkey hero sandwich with a bunch of the other students. Not athletes, just talking shop and talking life to these kids. Could you imagine that? Oh, that'd be hilarious. Yeah, that's what you got to do. You know, that's what you got to do. No.
Got five kids.
No, I'm telling you, it would be hilarious. It would be great. That's a great reality show. And the thing is,
it would be gold.
Could you imagine if he went
over
there?
He'd be able to recoup all the money he lost.
She goes over to the football coach and says, hey, coach, I'd like to be the volunteer wide receiver coach. Could you imagine that? Oh, my God, the routes those guys would be running. Imagine he's coaching the wide receivers as an assistant coach.
Right.
That'd be hysterical.
I would like to see the first student, though, to go up to him. After a bad fantasy football year, I'd be like, listen, you screwed me.
Yeah, exactly.
What were you thinking? I drafted you in the third round last year in August, and my team, it was a big money league. My team tanked. God. You played yourself and talked yourself out of two teams. I mean, what are you doing? But, you know, he's eating that turkey club in the Commons.
Turkey club, yeah, and a chocolate milk.
Right.
Yeah, the thing is, and rice cakes. The thing is, though, like, you know, look, the guy's got a lot going on, man. And for him to try to continue with his education and get his degree, you know, we're having fun, obviously. But it's pretty good. I mean, you know, this is one of the more positive things we've heard about him. I think, I don't know about you, when I first saw it yesterday, I thought, oh, this is another joke. And then I looked into it a little more. I'm like, oh, he's not joking. And, you know, you talked about Juju, and there's a lot of athletes that go back to get their
Education. Larry Fitzgerald has done great work with the University of Phoenix, which is online,
yeah.
Right?
Yep, you're correct, yeah. So, yeah, that's the thing. I mean, so it would be something, though, that if he was in the spring semester enrolled in classes as a full-time student.
God.
And how about this? What year did he leave as a junior? Probably as a junior, right?
I'm not sure what year
it had to be. Wouldn't it be? Couldn't be sophomore.
No. Well, no, he'd have to be 3 years. Right. So, but he could have been a redshirt sophomore, where it had been 3 years in the program.
Dude, he might have a year of eligibility left.
Yeah, right.
Could you imagine him playing next year?
Oh, my God. For Central Michigan. Oh, I just would love to see him on campus. Hot tub. It would be like watching the Rodney Dangerfield money movie in real life.
It really would.
Parties. I mean, it would be unbelievable. Do it, Antonio!
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.